Do you like Highway to Helms? Then support the podcast. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShaneHelms and pick yourself up a shirt. Podcasts, they're free to you, but they're not free to do. Let's keep this train rolling. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShaneHelms and pick yourself up a shirt, son. Salutations, what it is. Welcome, citizens, to another episode of Highway to Helms. It is April the 3rd, episode 48, on the countdown to episode 50. Here's what I'm going to do when I get to 50 episodes. I ain't going to do shit. That's what I'm going to do. Shit's going to be just like this. Man, it took me 47 episodes just to have a guest on this show, and that was by accident. Why would I change? Why would I change now? Right out of the gate, I want to send a big, super special shout out to collarandelbowbrand.com. They sent me some of their new line of shirts, which, as I've said before, I've said a million times, I wear Collar and Elbow Brand shirts almost every single day. They're just comfortable. They're cool. They refer to wrestling. I can't wear, you know, my pro wrestling t-shirts, so they're all Hurricane shirts. I can't just shamelessly plug myself all the time. I mean, I can, but for the most part, Collar and Elbow Brand shirts are what I wear every day. So I don't get paid for this. I don't get paid to sponsor them. I'm just sending a shout out because that's what I do. I send shout outs. I spread love. I spread joy. I want to give a couple shout outs to some podcasts. Comic Book Club, they're finally going to do a read or evaluation, a review of Squadron Supreme, the original series, which is one of my favorite comic book series of all time. They just announced that on one of their podcasts. So I got very excited to hear about that. Looking forward to it. I want to give another shout out to Jay-Z Flair. If you don't know who that is, and you probably don't, but who knows? One day you might. Good things start from humble beginnings. Or is it big things? Something like that. So anyway, I did his podcast last week, had a good time, either last week or the week before, had a really good time talking to him and his co-host, who I can't remember his name, but forgive me if I don't shake hands.
Forgive me if I don't shake hands.
How appropriate is that? But had a good time on his podcast, so go to iTunes or wherever, search Jay-Z Flair Show, and it should come up. Another podcast I want to give a shout out to is 83 Weeks. They just did a watch-along of Uncensored 2000, and Eazy-E, Eric B, had some good things to say about their match with 3Count and Brian Knobbs for the Hardcore Championship. I don't remember much about that match. those matches were rough, so I can't really say I enjoyed them. I like Brian Knobbs as a human being. Working with him can be rough. He's a hard hitter. He has his own way of doing things. But Eric had some good things to say about that match. To be fair, he could have just been bullshitting. but I appreciate it either way. And I think I'm going to have to dig it up and check it out and see what we did. I know we did put thought into it. We always put effort into it, no doubt. And like everything, I put a lot of thought into stuff. Sometimes I overthink. But I know we tried really hard. Anyway, I appreciate that. So, yeah, no travel stories. I'm assuming most people listening to this aren't having many travel stories either. Haven't left the farm, except for to get supplies a couple times to the, you know, grocery store, of course, CVS. But other than that, I've stuck to the rules, adhered to the rules, stayed home. Luckily, as I said, last few weeks, the Empress, Karen, she's able to work from home. And they're working her ass to death, too. So she's working at home, hard at work on projects. Brax the Destroyer actually just had to start some kind of homeschool things he did the last couple of days. Sebastian hasn't yet, but I'm sure it's coming. But yeah, so as far as the travel stories go, those are on hiatus. Hopefully, we get this virus under control soon, so those of us that do travel for a living can get back to it, get back at it, get back to entertaining people. That's what I do. Well, that's what I try to do. I'm assuming if you're listening to this, I do entertain you. So, but who knows? So that being said, in lieu of travel stories, what I'm going to do is share a few stories from my career for you. One that just recently popped up on Facebook was a guy named Tim Blaze on Facebook. He was a wrestler and promoter back in my indie days. He works closely with AEW. What is it? Man, I can't remember shit. AML Wrestling, which is probably the best organization in North Carolina going right now. One of the best indies, period. A really great promotion. So anyway, back in the day, he booked me on a show. And originally, the main event was Ricky Morton against the Fantastics, one of the Fantastics, Bobby Fulton. Now, for whatever reason, I don't know why, Ricky couldn't make the show. So Tim booked Sugar Shane Helms. At the time, I was probably the show Shane Helms. This was 98. So there was a point when I dropped Kid Vicious that I was going by Shane Helms. And I was the show Shane Helms. Now, this was before Paul White became the big show. Once he became the big show, I dropped the show because what am I going to be? The little show? Pre-show? It's bullshit, man. Damn it. But anyway, so let me read this card to you. So that was the main event. A War Games strap match. Rock and Roll, Ricky Morton versus the Fantastic Bobby Fulton, who was the champion at this time. Alternative Pro Wrestling was the group, APW. Then we had an 8-man War Games cage match, Team Express, which was LA Wild One, Pat Friday, and the Dream Warriors. Now, I knew the Dream Warriors. I kind of sort of remember LA Wild One. I don't remember Pat Friday at all. But I remember the Dream Warriors because sometimes they would have a big snake with them. Now, they were going against the Boogies Brigade. The Boogies Brigade was led by Handsome Jimmy Valiant, also known as the Boogie Woogie Man. He was teaming up with Bone Crusher and Seek and Destroy. And I have no recollection who any of those guys were. Then we had a barbed wire match. Barbed wire, Lewis. Joe Storm versus Damian Storm. My money's on Storm. So, speaking of which, as I record this, it is the birthday of Citizen Storm. Citizen Lance Storm, so happy birthday, you old bastard. Next up, we had a mixed tag weapons match. Apparently, every damn match on this card was a gimmick match. So, Tim Blaze teaming with the lovely Brandywine against Mad Max, Chuck Coates, my boy, longtime friend, and Foxy Lady. So, yeah, Foxy Lady ended up being one of the people who built, I believe it was Shine, an all-women's promotion, Shine or Shimmer, one of the two, I believe. See, this is the type of shit I should research before I just start spouting shit off. But I'm telling you what I think. Could be wrong. We all good. Next, we had a flag match. Wow, we haven't had one of those on this show. The American Eagle. I wonder what country he's representing. Versus Otto, the German Beef Swans. Interesting to note, they spelled beef wrong on this poster. I love that. Special added attraction, Will-O-The-Wisp, who worked a young Matt Hardy on this show. So, yeah. So, anyway, Ricky Morton couldn't make the show. They asked Shane Helms to fill in, main event slot. And I was a guy, I could do heel, I could do babyface. You know, I'm pretty well-rounded. I mean, you guys have seen me. So anyway, now it's not going to be a strap match because Thankfully, now it's going to be a cage match. Me and Bobby Fulton for the APW Heavyweight Championship. And we're in the back. You know, Bobby's old school. A lot of walk and talk. No need to put a lot of things together. But you just generally get the finish together. So now it's going to be a cage match anyway. So you guys have seen cage matches. There's going to be a lot of running heads into the cage. That sort of shit. So basically I just said, hey, I'll miss a dive off the top of the cage. Bobby's finish was a pile driver. I'll go up, miss something, boom, pile driver. And Bobby's like, man, you don't jump off the top of that cage? I said, yeah, man, I'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Because back then, young Shane Helms, I had a nickname on the indies, the IBM, the Insane Bump Machine, because I was jumping off some shit. Didn't matter where I was, I would jump off something and get some people. Harking back to the most famous story from Omega of me jumping off the back of an 18-wheeler to put Matt Hardy through a table and about broke my own damn neck. Anyway, I digress. So if I haven't said it before, I should mention here, I didn't ever see this cage go up. Neither did Bobby. I didn't know, or at least I don't think he did. I didn't know anything about this cage. I just, in my mind, had seen, you know, the cages on TV, that sort of thing. You've seen the very famous cage match, Snuka doing the dive off the top of the cage. I was just going to do something like that, either a crossbody, probably more of a swanton type thing and miss. No big deal to me. Well, now the match, you know, it's time to have the match. I'm walking to the ring. More than likely coming out to Shimmy Shimmy Y'all by ODB at this time, because that was my entrance music when I was part of the Serial Thrillers. I see this cage. This fucking thing is 80 feet high. It's not 80 feet high, but man, it's so tall. Like, if you stood on the top rope, you could barely touch the top of the thing. And I don't even know if you could. And it's all rickety, and, you know, there's like little pieces of metal sticking out and all over this thing. And I was like, oh God, I'm going to get killed in this thing, right? But anyway, the show must go on, and it came back out now. You know, I'm in there with a legend. I'm in there with Bobby Fulton. You know, I told him I was jumping off this cage. I'm going to jump off the top of this cage. Shit's going down. Now, Bobby, despite being one of the guys that believed in red draws green in those days, had changed his ways. And he was very afraid of blood, you know, smartly so. At some point in this match, I get thrown over the top rope and, like, my back hits the cage and I'm sure you've seen this spot in a lot of cage matches. A guy gets thrown over the top rope, hits the cage, slides down, where a piece of the cage cuts my back from like one shoulder blade all the way across my back and down to the other side of my back, which is like where my kidney is. Slice me. And only about 3 inches was it really deep. The other one was just superficial, but still cut. But I don't know how bad. It just kind of burns a little bit. Well, Bobby sees that. Bobby kind of like, oh, man. He's like, brother, you are cut, man. You're cut bad. And it was bad because I roll over and I look at the mat and there's just a puddle of blood. I'm like, shit. You know, because, I mean, these are indie days. You know, this payday ain't going to cover a trip to the hospital, you know, main event or not. A lot of people on this card, you know, so I don't remember what the payday was. But it ain't going to cover a hospital bill is what I'm trying to say to you, my listeners. So I was like, man, damn it. And Bobby goes, you still want to jump off that cage? And I go, hell no. Now, keep in mind, moments earlier, I'm going to jump off this cage. I'm not saying no for no reason. I see a pile of my blood on the damn mat. Like, hell no, I ain't jumping off that cage. So Bobby does what any veteran would do in this situation. He punched me in the balls and power drove me. And that was it. That was the finish. That shit worked. I was beat. I was done. So, yeah. There you have it. Yeah, so I did not jump off the top of that cage. Instead, I didn't even end up going to the hospital. We went to the back, and I think we just taped me up or something like that. And I got this kind of scar on my back that's, of course, been there ever since. But, yeah. So, how's that? How you feel about that? H2H has got a new sponsor, and it couldn't have come at a better time. This episode of Highway to Helms is brought to you by Real Good Foods. Stay at home and have food shipped to you. Eat healthier and lose weight. Plus, Real Good Foods is open for business and will continue to ship during this crazy-ass time that we're dealing with right now. And check this out. They've lowered their shipping minimum. That's very cool of them. It's all about feeling better, and Real Good Foods will make you feel, wait for it, real good. No more feeling sluggish. No more feeling weighed down. We all know how we feel after we eat junk food, right? The junk food talks to us. It wants us to eat it, but then we feel bad. No more. Don't let that happen to you. Go to the website realgoodfoods.com and use the code HELMS. That's H-E-L-M-S, and you get 15% off your entire order, from breakfast sandwiches to pizzas, Italian entrees, stuffed chicken. They got all kinds of stuff. It's all delicious, and it's all real ingredients. High protein, low carb. And that's really the way to do it. So don't miss your chance to get a 15% discount. Go to realgoodfoods.com and use that code HELMS. Plus, Real Good Foods just released their first ice cream on March the 13th. It's the first ever super premium ice cream with real ingredients, extra creamy. None of that chalky, powdery flavor that you get with other, you know, low-calorie ice creams. There's only 4 grams of sugar, 180 calories per serving, and usually it's 180 calories in about 3 bites of regular ice cream. So this is a game changer, and it's coming to you courtesy of Real Good Foods. So once again, that code HELMS will get you a 15% discount. Support the show, support the podcast. Like I always say, they're free to you, but they're not free to do. So enjoy all the deliciousness and start living healthy. And in these trying times, having food delivered to you is the way to go. Once again, realgoodfoods.com, discount code HELMS, 15% off your entire order. So along with Real Good Foods, I've taken up intermittent fasting, which is basically a cute way of saying stop eating so fucking much. That's what that is. When you increase your fast, that just means you don't eat as much. But you can't tell people that. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that they eat too much. So you convince them of this new technique, this brand new technique of intermittent fasting, and you'll lose weight. But here's the secret. You lose weight because you're not eating as much. It's not really rocket science. Wah, wah, wah. But anyway, it's working. I've dropped 7-8 pounds since I've been doing it. I've been doing it for about a week now, a week and a half. I mean, I've lost 7 and 8 pounds since the stay at home has happened, because I've just been doing increased my workouts, but also the intermittent fasting, I believe, has helped. In the morning, and just instead of eating breakfast right away when I get up, just wait a couple extra hours, you know, to extend the fast that you already do in your sleep. And weirdly enough, I don't know if this is the case for everybody, but for me, coffee helps. I think the stimulant in coffee, you know, just kind of decreases the hunger for me a little bit. You know, and I mean, some people can just drink water and stuff like that, and that helps them curb the hunger pain. That shit don't work for me. Water don't do nothing but just make me hungrier and make my damn belly mad at me. And then my belly will row, row like a dungeon dragon. Change your shitty drawers because your pants are sagging. Anybody? JoJo? Can you dig that one up?
Row, row, like a dungeon dragon. Change your shitty drawers cause your pants are sagging. Try to step to this and I'll twist it to a turban and have you smelling rank like some old stale urine.
We'll see. There's a little test. But anyway, enough about that. I want to talk about some TV shows, because I'm sure that you guys, just like me, you're watching a lot of TV lately. If you're staying in, I actually watched Bloodshot again. I'm so proud of the Valiant Company, Valiant Comics, for you know, being brave enough to go and challenge themselves into the cinematic universe. And I like Bloodshot a lot. It's just an action movie, you know. There ain't no really big, deep conspiracy theories going on. Just a fun action movie, people getting their ass kicked. I'm all about it. So whenever things return to normal, assuming that they are, and that's my hope and that's my plan, is that things are going to go back to normal. When it comes to the big screen, I might even go see it again. Now, as far as TV goes, and I just told this story on Facebook and Twitter, I watched the Unabomber series. I didn't really know a lot about the reasonings behind this guy becoming the Unabomber. I didn't know what Unabomber even meant. but it's a good documentary on Netflix. But then, you know, I just had finished this, me and the Impress, and I received this package. Now, I go to pick up this package, and it's heavy. And it feels like a bag of stuff, like a bag of, I said it felt like cat litter because I had recently picked up a bag of cat litter. But there's something in there that's real heavy, and I don't know what it is. And in the back of my mind, you know, I got this Unabomber thing still in my head. And I'm sitting there going, man, what is this? What if somebody didn't like something I said? And I get super paranoid. And so anyway, but I know, like, the, you know, the Unabomber packages, there has to be... they're not like flexible. Like this one just felt like it was filled with cereal, heavy cereal or something like that. And so I was like, man, I got to see what it was. Well, I forgot I had ordered some cornhole bags. For those of you that don't know what cornhole is, it's this game where you got these little bags and they're filled with corn. And then they sew the bag shut and you got these boards that have a hole in them and you throw the bag and it goes through the hole. It's kind of like horseshoes. It's the same principle of horseshoes, you know, but you're doing it with a bag of corn. So anyway, well, I forgot I'd even ordered the things. And so then I went out and tried to play. I hadn't played in years, and I suck ass at it. So I feel like saying you suck ass at cornhole, there's a joke there somewhere. So anyway, other stuff I've been watching. Project Blue Book is about to wrap up. I'm on the season finale of that, season 2. I love that show. I love anything to do with aliens and shit like that. And these stories are kind of based on real life reports of aliens and shit like that. So, especially within the government. So if you're into that Project Blue Book, and you'll have to Google what channel it's on. I can't even remember, like the History Channel or some shit like that. Like, I don't know. Curb Enthusiasm, still killing it. Larry David's still an idiot. He ain't going to change, man. He just ain't going to change, and good for him. He did put out too a really funny clip telling people to stay at home, because we still got a lot of people in this country that don't think this virus is as serious as they should, and out being jackasses. Just stay home. Stay home for a couple of weeks. I know that's tough, and for some people, it's you know, just might seem impossible, but you know, we got to curb the spread. So anyway, Better Call Saul. Still good, but is it just me or is Mike the star of that show? Like, I love the story with Better Call Saul, you know, but when it comes to Mike's really the one I'm most interested in that show. And I want to get people's feedback. How do you feel about that? Because for me, it's all about Mike. I want to be like Mike. What else is going on? Ozark, man, Ozark season 3. Man, there's a couple people, they introduced a new character in this show, Wendy's brother. He kept getting on my damn nerves. Ruth got on my nerves a lot. Like this, you know, tiny little 90-pound girl just keep talking shit to everybody. I'm like, this girl's going to get her ass whooped at some point. And she did. So there's some really good writing. But there's some of the people that just frustrate you with how stupid they are. But, I mean, I guess that's where the drama comes from. But really good. Again, Jason Bateman's a great actor. He's a director in a lot of these episodes, or at least a few of them, I know. And he really has this show kind of down pat. The ending, the season finale of season 3. Whoa, be prepared. I can't tell you what it is. And I feel like even saying this, you're going to be on the lookout for something, and it might dilute the experience for you, because I wasn't ready. I don't think I even knew that this was the last episode. That's a good thing about Netflix, because you don't know it's the last episode until that shit's over. But yeah, that one's good. That one was good. All the stress, and then it's over, and you're like, man, damn. And now we got to wait to season 4. Who knows when the hell that'll be out, but well done. Well done to everybody involved. So a new one that I checked out on Amazon Prime is called Catastrophe. And this is about this American goes to, I believe, London, kind of has a, you know, a little hookup action, with this young lady. She's a middle-aged lady. And not just a one-nighter. Over the course of a week, they hook up several times. Anyway, he goes back to America. That's it. You know, a few weeks later, He gets a phone call. She is with child. So he's going to do the responsible thing. He goes back to London to be with her. It's a comedy. There's a lot. It's well written. It's a good cast. I'm not familiar with the actors at all. There's only one actor in the show that I even recognize. But it's really good. A lot of good funny bits. There was a bit the other night. We're watching. The Empress done fell asleep. You know, she puts her head on my chest and she kind of crashes out. And so I try to watch TV and not, you know, wake her up or stir or anything. But the male, the American, is, you know, he's trying to get a job in London, and he's talking to his he's talking to the girl about it, and he's just like, "Yeah, I think I got the job, but the lady who did the interview, I'm 100% certain she sleeps in a coffin." And for whatever reason, that shit just hit me right, and I start giggling. And I'm one of those people, man. I get the giggles. I'm gonna need time for them giggles to subside. And I'm just giggling, and I'm trying to hold it in. It's like, you know, when you're trying not to laugh at church, you know, and it just makes it worse. You know, anytime you're not supposed to laugh for whatever reason, whatever mental defect human beings have that makes it worse, it hit me. And I'm trying not to laugh, and now the whole bed's shaking. Hey, you know, had that bed shaking, baby. But, yeah, of course, I wake her up. And then there's this thing I do, and I can't help it, man. When a line hits me good, I want to see it over and over. So I start rewinding that shit 15 times. But that shit was good. Funny stuff. So Catastrophe, and that's on Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime is what I feel I've spent the most time on. They've just got so many shows, and I know I've talked about this before, but they got so many shows that I've never even heard of. Like, with fantastic actors. And I'm like, how did I not hear about this? And just, I mean, seasons. And I'm in the entertainment industry. I'm kind of in the know. I stay up to date with just about everything. Man. But apparently not. Amazon Prime, they're good at keeping their secrets. They're good at kayfabing. They're kayfabe Prime. That's what I dubbed them. But anyway, I appreciate it a lot, man. They're doing good stuff. A lot of good stuff coming on Amazon Prime. So, yeah. And what have you guys been watching? Send me some information. Tell me what's good. And tell me why you like it. Because people will suggest shows, but they won't tell me what they're about or why they like it. I need more. I need more than a title. You know what I'm saying? You heard? You heard me? And now it's time for the Comic Slam.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
This week's Comic Slam is once again dedicated to Epic Comics in Orlando. If you haven't been to Epic Comics, go online, check them out. If you want to order some books shipped to your house, I'm sure they can help you out. I'm guessing they can help you out. So anyway, they're a friend of the show. I want to talk about real quick. I know I talked about it last week, but Deceased Unkillables is just amazing. I actually gave that one another read, and that's how good it is. If any book you read multiple times, I mean, what bigger recommendation can you have? After that, I jumped to DC Legion of Superheroes 4 and 5 from DC Comics, written by Brian Michael Bendis, that son of a bitch. There might have been a little bit of a mix-up here in between issues 4 and 5. At the end of issue 4, there's a couple members of the Legion of Superheroes. They're surrounded by villains, or at least enemies, and that's where issue 4 ends. Now, issue 5 starts back up. And you got the Legion of Superheroes. They're still surrounded, but there's a couple extra members in there that weren't at the end of issue 4. They're in there for like one panel, maybe two, and then they're just gone. I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know if it was a mix-up with the writer and the artist while they were in there. One of them looks like a Dr. Fate character with six arms. I don't even know who the hell it is. Another character looks like a mix between Frankenstein's monster and Robot Man from Doom Patrol. I have no idea who that is, but they appear in this panel. Like I say, one panel, maybe two, and then they're gone. I don't know what the hell happened. But this book's really picking up. If you're not familiar with Legion, it's only 5 issues deep, so you can probably catch up pretty quickly. Now I feel they're really getting into the meat of the story and seeing where we're going to go, what this series is going to be about. But I'm a big fan of the Legion. One of my favorite series of all time is Legion Lost. And if you have DC Universe, if you have the streaming network DC Universe, This was just pointed out to me by WWE referee Jason Ayers. Legion Lost is on there. So check that out. It is absolutely one of my favorite series of all time. It's my favorite Legion story of all time. So anyway, good job on Legion of Superheroes. What is next? I want to talk about X-Men, issues 7, 8, and 9 by Jonathan Hickman. This is the most interested I've been in the X-Men in forever. This whole deal about Krakoa, they had a special guest appearance by the New Mutants, which the New Mutants were probably my least favorite X-Men team of all time. A team that's involved in the X-Men family, I should say. Never cared about them. But Jonathan Hickman does a great job in this book. He brings those characters in. I immediately like them again. Or not like them again. I like them for the first time ever. So that's a really great job. A really funny couple panels about Vulcan being drunk. I guess the mutants are getting bored here and there. But then we get a big invasion by the Brood. Now, the Brood is a species of alien that are kind of either an homage or a knockoff, depending on how you want to describe them, of the aliens from the Sigourney Weaver movies. And I think the aliens from the Sigourney Weaver movie came first. So I could be mistaken in that, but somebody copied somebody. But that's okay. But anyway, they're the Brood. There's a million of them. They're coming to Earth. They're going to try to... They're after something. I can't spoil it for you. But you see the New Mutants jumping in with the X-Men. They're fighting off the Brood. And then they do something really, really cool. There's a character from the New Mutants called Magic. And she can make these little portals. Where Cyclops shoots his laser beams through the portals. They come out the other portal and shoot the aliens. Boy, that shit was cool as hell. Why didn't I think of that? I love when writers do that, when they do something that you should have thought of, but you didn't. So that was very cool. It's also interesting that they got Jean Grey in her old school ass Marvel Girl outfit that she debuted in the 70s in. Meanwhile, Cyclops and everybody else has got their new up-to-date shit. What else is going on? Oh, yeah. We had an appearance of Gladiator in these books. Gladiator being one of my favorite Marvel characters of all time. I got a big statue of him in my house. He's kind of a Superman type character, Superman archetype. Once again, homage or knockoff, depending on how you want to describe it. Like I said, one of my favorite characters of all time. But Marvel did something. I don't think I talked about this before, but if I have, bear with me. Marvel did something with him that really pissed me off, because they revealed that his real name is Kal Ark. Now, Kal Ark is just a play on Superman's name. Superman's real first name is Kal. Clark is his human name, so they call him Kal Ark. Now, keep in mind, Superman works for the opposing company. Superman works for DC. This is a Marvel character. So every time I see this name, Kal Ark, it makes me think of the competition. Now, I get if you're trying to do an homage, whatever, trying to be cool. But from an editorial standpoint, whoever made that decision, whoever okayed that decision, I don't understand that whatsoever. Because you should never, as a reader, be reading a Marvel comic and start thinking about DC or Image or Valiant or any other comic. That is a dumbass decision, and it's pissed me off. Especially it pissed me off because Gladiator is one of my favorite characters. And now he's got a son named Kid Gladiator, and I don't like him on sight. So anyway. And two, the artist drew Gladiator with short sleeves. And for some reason, that pissed me off. And I don't even know why it pissed me off. But it did. He can't have short sleeves? Apparently not, according to me. See? This is how comic fans are. We get hot. We get hot over things. Another book that in the X-Men family I picked up was Hellions. This one I thought was really good, too. Havoc's going to be one of the main stars. Havoc is one of my favorite X-Men. He's Cyclops' brother, in case you don't know. My favorite X-Men is Colossus. Don't make me tell you that again. Good little quote to start this book. Here's a quote for you. Tell me if you like it. It is folly to create an Eden if one has no use for snakes. Now, I don't know what that means, but I think it's cool. So, this one's pretty cool. You got a lot of Mr. Sinister in this book. A lot of Wild Child in this book. There's a character named the Orphan Maker who I like, because when I was a young lad, I created a character named Orphan Maker. It sucked, but I do like the fact that there's a one named Orphan Maker in here. And yeah, there's a we get the reappearance of an old school female villainess. And I'm looking forward to see where this book goes. I don't know when issue 2 is going to come out. But yeah, damn this virus. Sons of bitches. Moving on, another book from Marvel Comics is Marvel's Voices. Now, this was a podcast series where people in Marvel Comics, I guess, would talk to different characters. I mean, different creators. Specifically, they focused on creators of color to tell little short Marvel stories. You know, and they got some really interesting names. Method Man does one. Charlamagne the God does one. Jeffrey Thorne. There's a couple. Roxane Gay does one. So you get a bunch of little short stories. And I thought it was very interesting. You know, I don't know if there's going to be like a part 2 or anything like that. But I liked it. So I jumped in on it. A book from Dark Horse Comics that I checked out but couldn't finish because I didn't get it was Transformers and the Terminator. Now think about that. The Transformers combined with the Terminator. I'm excited at the concept right off the bat. I bought that shit just because. So I start to read it. And you got this human being, and for some reason there's a Terminator helping him. I don't understand this right away because it kind of goes against you know, all of the movies. Because the movies always start with the Terminators trying to kill the humans, and then you get the one Arnold Schwarzenegger rogue Terminator that helps. But I don't know what's going on. And then some Decepticons show up. And I still don't know what's going on. So I put the book down. What's up with that? What's up with that? I don't even know. I might go back and finish this book, but I was just confused as hell. And there's too much good shit out there for me to waste time on some shit I'm confused about. But I might go back to it because I am still interested in the concept. But it was all over the place the first couple pages. Moving on to DC Comics, Superman. Brian Michael Bendis is doing a killer job on this book. Fascinating. You know, I talked about this a couple podcasts back. Superman has revealed to the world that he is Clark Kent. So that's creating all this drama in the newspaper world because Clark Kent writes for a newspaper, right? Well, now you got all these other reporters and they're like, is it fair? Is it fair that Clark Kent has been winning these awards and writing these stories when he is Superman? So you got that little beef. And now Superman is in battle with this character named Mongol. And Mongol is one of the few characters that can go toe-to-toe with Superman. So that's pretty cool. That's one of the things I never really liked about Superman because they make him so powerful that it takes a character like Doomsday to beat his ass. That like they made Superman almost too powerful. But anyway, so Mongol would damn check his chin for him though. But Superman does something really cool in this book. He punches Mongol in the belly. And then when Mongol's mouth opens, Superman uses the heat vision and shoots him in the mouth. Damn! I thought that was cool. I never understood, though, why they call it heat vision. Because that just makes it sound like he can see heat. Well, shit, I can see fire. Does that mean I got heat vision? I don't even know. But anyway, this book's been really good. Like, Superman never really been one of my favorite characters of all time. But Brian Michael Bendis, writing the story. I've been raised on pencils. Like, that's a combination I'm not saying no to. And they've done a really good job. So I'm really on board for this. Superman versus Mongol was a really good fight. As far as just pure action. Good action. Good story. Good drama. Good pencils. Shit, man. That's all you need. The last book I'm going to hit on this week is Road to Empire by Marvel Comics. And I had to pick this up. This is leading into a big story from Marvel Comics. Once everything gets back underway. But the reason I picked it up, the number one reason I picked it up, because on the cover is Mar-Vell, the very first Captain Marvel from Marvel Comics. Longtime Shane Helms fans know that Mar-Vell was my very first favorite character when I was just a little hurricane back in the day. So I had to pick it up. This is a good story. I love the art. I'm very interested for when comics get back and we get to finish this story. So so all in all, I had a really good week of comics reading. So let's summarize. Legion of Superheroes, I really dug that. X-Men, like I said earlier, the most interested I've been in the X-Men in a long time. Issue 789 were fantastic. Hellions, I think, is really good. Road to Empire, I loved. Marvel Voices, I thought was pretty interesting. Transformers, Terminator. I might have to give that one a second reading to get on board with that. Superman issues, 20 and 21. This is, just like the X-Men, the most interested I've been in Superman in quite some time. So hats off to all of those books. Check them out if you get a chance. And that's it for the Comic Slam this week. I appreciate you listening. Song of the week this week, we're going to send out to Bill Withers. He passed away just today. He sang Lean On Me, which will be the song of the week, brought to you by GOI Kicks, of course. And he also sang Ain't No Sunshine. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. All right, now you're going to hear him sing Lean On Me. It'll be a lot better than I just did. And that's it. That wraps it up for this week. So thank you all for traveling with me once again on the Highway to Helms.
If you need a friend, oh.